You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
What's up, faithful? You're listening to another episode of the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast, a part of the Odyssey Network. I am Brian Rennick, and I am riding solo today. And I wanted to touch on a couple things that are circulating kind of in the 49ers universe as we are 1 week away from the beginning of round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. Today is Thursday, April 18th. The draft takes place in Detroit, Rock City on Thursday, April 25th is round one. Rounds two and three will be on Friday, and then rounds four through seven on Saturday. And in our last episode, we had the always engaging, esteemed local and national reporter, Mike Silver. And as Al and I said, you know, when it comes to 49ers information, there are very few that we trust more than Mike. And one of the things that we talked a lot about with Mike is the Brandon Ayuk situation. It's kind of been what we've talked about a lot this offseason so far, and it's the biggest storyline. So it kind of makes sense. But the interesting thing is, you know, Mike didn't necessarily, I would say, put any water on, or I guess he put some water on the fire that the 49ers are going to trade Brandon Ayuk. I think that water he put on is the 49ers aren't necessarily going to trade Brandon Ayuk, but as we've said in the past, I think they are open to at least listening to offers for their star wide receiver. But in the grand scheme of things, what they want is to sign Brandon Ayuk to an extension unless somehow they get blown away. And so the team most connected with Brandon Ayuk or Brandon Ayuk trade rumors, I should say, has really been the Pittsburgh Steelers. And some of that has been fueled by some of Ayuk's social media musings, if you will, and activity. But a lot of it is also being fueled by Steelers media personalities. And so the most recent report, which came out on the 15th, and has gained a little bit of traction, is from Noah Strackbein, who writes about the Steelers for the All Steelers Fan Nation account, which is a part of Sports Illustrated. And in this article, the title of the article is "Steelers Won't Trade Much for Brandon Ayuk." And he says that according to a team source, the Steelers and 49ers trade talks are real. While nothing is imminent, they would be surprised if it didn't happen. But it all comes down to compensation, and Pittsburgh isn't willing to budge much on price. So we just talked about the fact that the 49ers probably aren't going to move off of Brandon Ayuk unless they're wowed by some offer. And that offer is going to include a first round pick. There's no way to wow a team if it doesn't include a first round pick. Block out the noise of, you know, the Stephon Diggs trade and what Buffalo got in return for that, you know, block out the noise of anything, because the current market, right, which a lot of people argue is the reason why the 49ers couldn't get a first round pick, because Stephon Diggs didn't go for a first round pick. Well, those are two completely different situations. The Bills were trying to get rid of Stephon Diggs. They did not want Stephon Diggs on their team anymore. That's not the case with the 49ers. The 49ers absolutely want Brandon Ayuk on their team. And as such, you're going to have to give them something to think about. And this article here seems to believe, or this reporter seems to believe, that the Steelers won't have to do that. He says, with Ayuk making it publicly known on social media that negotiations aren't going well with he and the 49ers, which in and of itself really actually isn't a valid statement, if we're being perfectly honest. There hasn't been a whole lot on social media from Brandon Ayuk saying they haven't gone well. There's been clues. You know, he unfollowed the team on Instagram, things like that. But there hasn't been an actual statement saying they're not going well. It says, it appears any team like the Steelers have some advantage in these trade talks. Pittsburgh isn't willing to overpay for a player who isn't going to be around long term with their current team. What should the expectation be? Just guessing, it feels like a second round pick and maybe a late round pick could get the deal done. Again, not enough. That's definitely not enough. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than no, that's not happening. He says, then there's the matter of his contract. Well, the Steelers don't need to extend him this offseason or ever. They probably will. He's looking at roughly $30 million per season after 2024. I don't know that he's looking at $30 million. I don't know that he can get to $30 million. And I don't know that Ayuk's camp thinks that they can. We just had the Devontae Smith extension with Philadelphia. It's a bit of a different situation because Devontae Smith came into the league a year later than Brandon Ayuk. And so his extension included them picking up his fifth-year option. And so that extension got billed as 3 years, $75 million with $51 million guaranteed. Well, some of that guaranteed money is his fifth-year option, which they picked up. His fifth-year option is fully guaranteed, just like Brandon Ayuk's is. And so that contract, I mean, I don't even know if you can use it to compare, but I think it does set the floor for Brandon Ayuk. But again, I don't think he's looking to get to $30 million, and I don't think he will get to $30 million. But the thing in this article that I feel like makes it totally worthless in terms of even thinking about maybe this is happening is when he says what they're worried about when it comes to a trade is the 49ers taking on some of Ayuk's $14 million contract this season. That's a non-starter. The 49ers are not going to get rid of Brandon Ayuk, and then on top of that, pay some of his salary for 2024 for a second round pick and maybe a late round pick. Like, let's just call a spade a spade. That is not going to happen. And something interesting happened today on Twitter. Chase Senior, who covers the NFL for Chat Sports, has been a guest on this podcast fairly recently. He tweeted out yesterday. And in his tweet, he says, reports the Pittsburgh Steelers are aggressively pursuing a Brandon Ayuk trade, and the Steelers would be surprised if they didn't land Ayuk. Again, some of that is based on this article that I just read to you. But what's interesting is Ryan Williams, who is Brandon Ayuk's agent, right? So a reliable source, quote tweeted that and said, another report that couldn't be more incorrect. Fictional journalism, in quotation marks, should really stop. That's the second time now that Brandon Ayuk's agent has gone on Twitter to refute a story that was starting to gain traction on Twitter. The first being that Brandon Ayuk has formally requested a trade. That has not happened. That report came out over the weekend, last weekend, that on Monday he was going to put in a formal request. That never happened. And over the weekend is when Ryan disputed that report. And it turns out, again, totally real, right? Ayuk still hasn't asked for a trade, whether it be officially or unofficially. And so again, today, Ryan Williams is on Twitter really throwing water on any kind of report that says that, you know, the 49ers are looking to trade Ayuk to the Steelers, and that the Steelers would be surprised. Here's the thing. If Brandon Ayuk really wanted to be traded, if he did not want to be a part of this franchise anymore, his agent wouldn't be out here trying to throw water on these reports of Brandon Ayuk officially asking for a trade. Brandon Ayuk wanted to be traded, right? If his agent is saying this isn't true, his agent is really undercutting his position. If that were the case, if his position was, I want to be traded. So I feel like, to me, with what happened last weekend and now with Ryan Williams coming out again and saying, hey, these reports aren't true, speculation is going to continue to be rampant until Brandon Ayuk signs an extension, or at the very least, until we get through round one of the NFL draft and Brandon Ayuk is still a 49er. I think those two are when speculation starts to end, but obviously the only one that will end it permanently will be when he signs an extension with the 49ers, or if he signs an extension with the 49ers. But it certainly seems like this idea of Brandon Ayuk being traded is probably a far-fetched one. And again, unless a team absolutely bowls the 49ers over with an offer, and I promise you that offer includes a first-round pick this year, I just don't think that the 49ers are going to trade Brandon Ayuk. One of the things that I think is interesting, though, before we kind of put a bow on this, is, you know, Mike Silver, when we had him on, didn't necessarily say the 49ers wouldn't trade Brandon Ayuk, and he didn't necessarily say the 49ers needed a first-round pick. But what Mike Silver did say was, depending on how the draft fell, if the 49ers ended up with one of these first-round wide receivers that they really love, they may be more inclined to listen to offers for Brandon Ayuk. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to listen to offers for Brandon Ayuk. And honestly, if the 49ers came out of round one with a wide receiver like A.D. Mitchell from Texas, I don't see any reason why they would trade Brandon Ayuk, because now you've got a top three wide receiver core of Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and A.D. Mitchell for 2024, along with Juwan Jennings. And then you've got a 1-2 punch of Mitchell and Ayuk moving forward, either in 2025 if they exercise the escape clause in Deebo Samuel's contract, or after 2025, you know, after Deebo's contract is up. I don't think he's going to sign another contract with the 49ers. So, again, this Brandon Ayuk trade chatter, it's fun to talk about. I don't know if it's fun. I want Brandon Ayuk on this team. I wouldn't say it's fun to talk about. I think there is a conversation to be had about it without having to take a position of the 49ers want to trade Brandon Ayuk or the 49ers aren't going to trade Brandon Ayuk. Like, there is a middle ground there. It just seems like that middle ground is shrinking as we get closer and closer to the draft. So again, is Brandon Ayuk going to be traded? I would say I am 70-30 that the 49ers are keeping Brandon Ayuk. You know, I think there is a world where they get an offer that they would be willing to take, but I think there are certain situations that need to occur before they would take that. One of those being that they have landed a wide receiver that they think could replace Brandon Ayuk, like an A.D. Mitchell or someone along those lines.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, speaking of the draft, what are some clues that we as fans could really look at and try and get an idea of what we think the 49ers are looking to do in this upcoming draft? And I think one of the biggest clues we can get is taking a look at who the 49ers have been connected to throughout this process, and also who the 49ers are bringing in on their top 30 visits. And then also take a look at the different position groups and how many players within those position groups have been tied to the 49ers. Again, through reporting, the 49ers met with this player at the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Bowl or at the Combine, right? That's what I'm talking about when I say connected. Top 30 visits are official, and we have a pretty exhaustive list of those. I don't think we have all of them. 49ers, I think, have done a pretty good job of keeping some of those under wraps, which is strategic in nature, right? You don't want a bunch of teams knowing exactly who you've brought in, right? Especially if you're hoping to get some of those players maybe in the middle rounds or things like that. But again, my favorite resource, I've talked about it before. We've given her a shout out. I think we're actually hoping to have her on with us next week as we do one final kind of mock draft exercise, if you will. But Steph Sanchez of the Bully Ball podcast, of the 49 Carats podcast, friend of the show, has a Google sheet that she keeps each year during the run-up to the draft. And all it is a visit meeting interest tracker for the 49ers and the different prospects heading into the draft. And so we've talked about it before. We've taken a look at it before. But again, we are now just 7 days away from the draft. More information has come out, more top 30 visits. And so I wanted to take a look at that. And again, kind of see if we can't figure out at the very least where the 49ers are leaning in terms of where they think they're going to find the most value. What areas of the team do they think they want, or do we think they want to hit in the draft, and things like that. So let's go with the position group that shows up most on Steph's visit tracker, interest tracker, whatever you want to call it. And I feel like this is no surprise, but it is the offensive line. Not just offensive tackle, but offensive line. If you go into that sheet and you just sort it by position, the 49ers have been connected to 30 different offensive line prospects so far in the run-up to the draft. That is the most by a long shot of any other position group. And you could say that makes sense because, you know, if you put the O-line in as one position group, there's five positions on that line, right? On the defensive line, we break it up by edge and interior, right? And I could have done that, and maybe I should have, but I just went with offensive line. And again, it's 30 that they have at least some reported interest in, or have given interviews or have brought in on virtual visits or things like that. But then when it comes to top 30 visits, there's actually only three so far that the public is aware of. And all three of those are tackles. And that is offensive tackle Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, offensive tackle Kingsley Suamatia from BYU, and offensive tackle Caden Wallace from Penn State. We also know that last week, John Lynch and Chris Foerster were in person for the University of Washington Pro Day. The University of Washington has two offensive linemen, both tackles that are likely to go within probably the top 50 picks, if not just the top two rounds, top 64. That being Troy Fatanu and Roger Rosengarten. Now, Fatanu is likely a player that the 49ers are out of range for. Fatanu is probably going to be a top 15, top 20 pick at the worst. And again, the 49ers pick at 31. But Roger Rosengarten, I think, is the more intriguing name there. He is a young prospect. He's only 21 years old. If he went back to school, he probably would have been a consensus top 10 pick going into next year's draft, but he decided to declare this year. I think that's a name to be on the lookout for in the second round. I don't think that the 49ers would be, I don't think they would take him at 31. I think there are players that will be higher on their board for them. But I do think that that is a name to look for. The next highest position group is cornerback at 21. 21 official interest meetings, whatever the case may be. They've been tied to 21. And just like offensive linemen, they've had three in on top 30 visits so far. Those three are Andrew Phillips, the likely nickel from Kentucky, D. Camarion Richardson from Mississippi State, and Chow Smith Wade, again, another nickel, probably nickel only cornerback out of Washington State. The next highest is wide receiver at 20. And I think that is, to me, that is the most intriguing. It tells me that this team is going to draft at least one wide receiver in this draft. I feel like I would put a good amount of money on them probably taking two. And one, I think, would be within the first three rounds, and then a second in the middle to late rounds. They have been connected to 20. They've had four in on top 30 visits. And again, there is a possibility that they've had more. I know that there's it's rumored that they had Xavier Leggett from South Carolina in on a top 30, but nothing has been official. Going back to cornerback, there's also rumor that they had Kool-Aid McKinstry in on a top 30 visit, but again, that hasn't been confirmed. But the wide receivers that they've had in on top 30 visits are wide receiver Jacob Cowing from Arizona State, a small slot receiver, 5'8", 171, ran a 4.38 40, and he's a returner. That was likely probably why they had him in. The team did just sign Trent Taylor, so I do believe that they're trying to upgrade their return teams. Trent Taylor as a punt returner. And I think they're looking for somebody to be a kick returner, because with the new rules, kick returns, I think, are going to be back in terms of how they affect the game. So again, Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, Javon Baker out of UCF, Malachi Corley, we've talked about him before. That's the player in the draft that most people think is most similar to Deebo Samuel. He's from Western Kentucky, 5'10 and a half, 207, ran a 4.5 40, just kind of built very similar to Deebo Samuel. Looks like a running back playing the wide receiver position. And then they've also had wide receiver Bub Means from Pitt, a more prototypical 6'1, 212, 4.43 wide receiver. Again, more in the mold of like a Brandon Ayuk. Tight ends, they've had 13 that they're connected to, and they've brought in only one on a top 30 visit. That player is Eric All, the tight end out of Iowa, who tore his ACL in October of this past college football season. So likely a player that will be there probably more in the mid rounds, but could be a bit of a riser, especially if teams feel like he might be ready to contribute at least a little bit in 2024. But so far, the only tight end connected to the team on a top 30 visit. And Steph has on here, has drawn a lot of interest in quotation marks from the 49ers. So a player that I think they're looking hard at. And then running back, they've been connected to 13, haven't had any in on top 30 visits. Safety, I think is, Mike talked about this a little bit, and I wanted to follow up on this with him, but we ran out of time. But Mike Silver talked a lot about safety. We asked him a question about it, but you know, one of the things that he talked about a lot that I thought was interesting is when we were talking defense, the name that he kept saying was Brandon Staley. Not once did he mention Nick Sorensen's name. And I thought that was interesting because Nick Sorensen is the defensive coordinator. He's the defensive play caller, but it certainly seems like Brandon Staley is going to have a pretty big influence on what this defense looks like and things of that nature. And, you know, we're going to have to see. But one of the things that Mike talked about was Brandon Staley's affinity for playing with three safeties, kind of a trend that is starting to kind of go league wide as well. But also talked about his affinity for what he called the star position. So safety has been, they've had 13 that they've connected to. They've had three in on top 30 visits, including local kid, Sione Vakai, the safety / running back from Utah. They met with him at the combine, and they also brought him in on an official top 30 visit. They also brought him in on the local pro day because he is from Antioch. Also, Kalen Bullock, the safety from USC. And then just recently reported Javon Bullard, safety from Georgia, another player that they had in on a top 30 visit. What I thought was interesting is they haven't been connected with a lot of defensive linemen. They've been connected with some, but not a lot. 11 edge players specifically, and they've had two in on top 30 visits. The edge players have been Marshawn Kneeland, the edge rusher from Western Michigan, and then also have brought in on a top 30 visit, Chris Braswell, the defensive end or edge player from Alabama. And then at D tackle, they've been connected to 11, and they've had three in on a top 30 visit, which tells me that D tackle is a position that they are going to probably focus on, I would argue, early. First, second, or third round, I think you will see the 49ers take a defensive tackle. The defensive tackles that they've had in on top 30 visits are Brandon Dorless out of Oregon, kind of like a Charles Omenihu type player. He is 6'3", 283, and at Oregon, he played both outside and inside, so he has a bit of that versatility. They've also had Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic. A late round player, which I think is interesting that they had him in on a top 30 visit. A lot of the kind of consensus on him is seventh round or priority free agent. And then also Michael Hall Jr., who has been connected to the 49ers a lot. Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State, just 20 years old, 6'2", 299, a bit undersized in the weight department, but very similar to like a Javon Hargrave, a shorter guy known for rushing the passer more than defending the run. And then last but not least, linebacker. They've been connected to 10 and have had two in on top 30 visits. Those two are Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky, 6'1", 237, runs a 4.5, a coverage linebacker more than a run stopper, which is what the 49ers tend to prefer to bring in at linebacker. And then also Tatum Bethune out of Florida State. Bethune is very undersized. He is transitioning to linebacker from safety, but he is 5'11", 227, ran a 4.7 40. Again, probably more of a late round or a priority free agent. So I think, again, when we try and figure out what is this team going to do in the draft, I think there are definitely some clues here that we can take away. One being that they are going to draft some offensive linemen. I would venture to say they probably are going to draft two. I think they'll draft at least one tackle and maybe either a kind of a tweener that could be tackle or interior only. I wouldn't be surprised if they went with a center prospect like a, you know, a Tanner Bordellini, who they have been connected to, just hasn't brought in on a top 30 visit, or Bo Limmer out of Arkansas. But I think they need to address the future of center. Al has talked about it a lot. You know, Jake Brendel's just a guy and he's 33 years old. Like, you need to think about the future there at that position. They're going to draft at least one wide receiver. I think they're going to draft two. And they are going to draft a safety. And I think they want to draft at least one corner. I think those are the four positions that this team is going to focus on. And then the other focus being defensive tackle. So again, defensive tackle, wide receiver, O-line, and safety and cornerback. And then I do think that they, based on what they've done in free agency and trying to bring in the tight end from Detroit, who ended up not coming because Detroit matched, and then they signed Eric Salbert. I think they are a little bit worried about tight end behind George Kittle. I think they're a little underwhelmed with Cameron Latu from last season. Braden Willis has always been more of a tweener. You know, even when he was drafted, I thought, well, that might be the future Kyle Juszczyk, right? Rather than the future George Kittle. So I think they want to address that position as well. But in the end, I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it, this team has set itself up through their moves in free agency to really just focus on being able to take the best player available when their slot comes up to draft. And I think they're going to do that. And I don't think they're going to necessarily prioritize one position over another. I don't think they're going to draft for need. I think they're going to draft for depth. And when you draft for depth, you want to draft again with the best player available. So we will be back next week. Al will be back. And then, like I said, we will try and get either Steph or another friend of the show on and do one final mock draft before next Thursday. And then Al and I will be back Thursday night to react to everything that happened in round one. Hopefully those are positive for the 49ers. But until then, please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Before I go, I am wearing my homage swag I got. Homage, I love homage.com. Has tons and tons of awesome like retro gear for not just the 49ers, but you know, MLB teams, NBA teams. But make sure to check out Homage. You can go to my Twitter at brennick77. I have a link in my pinned tweet. Check out some gear, get some gear for the draft, get some gear for the upcoming season. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Not as on three. 1, 2, 3.
Ah! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.